Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you all doing this morning?
Good.
Did you get your salubrious activity in this week?
Yes.
I got mine in. Do what? Yeah, no, it didn't do me in. I'm here, aren't I? That's right. Karen Brown was giving me some love this morning. She said, "You know, you fall down and you stumble, but you get back up." I said, "Oh, that's right. That's good preaching, Karen." But, yeah, I broke my wrist and my elbow playing softball Thursday night. Went into first base and tripped over the guy's foot. He was hogging the base, and I got to lean over to itch my nose. But, I broke this elbow and broke this wrist. So I went to the emergency that night, and they put a cast from my in my hand all the way past my elbow on both arms. So I got this cast on both arms all the way up past my elbows. And I get home at 2:30 in the morning. I'm thinking, what? How's this going to work? You know? And so he says, "Well, you have to go to a specialist on Friday." And so I woke up the next morning, you know, you know what you got to do in the morning. Huh. I wasn't calling the neighbor for that one. But the idea is, I went to the specialist, and he told me that my wrist was broke and my elbow, but you can't put a cast on your broken elbow because it won't heal right. So you just kind of have to endure it. You know, you have to endure the pain, and it'll heal up quicker. He said in like a week, you'll start feeling better. I said, I hope so. And so now I can move my fingers and my hand there and my elbow on this one. So I'm kind of working them together, and everything's working out. And so if I go, "Jesus," my elbow got a little hurt in it. I'm not using him as a swear word. I'm using him just for help. You know what I mean? So if I'm up here preaching all of a sudden, "Jesus," that's it. That's what it is. Am I have to learn to slide? I wasn't trying to knock him over. What have we been talking about? Fear. And how fear has the potential to keep us from our effectual call. Remember, we all have a call on everybody has a call in their life. Okay? You have a call. When you answer that first call, you accept Jesus into your heart as your Lord and Savior. And then you get plugged into the body of Christ somewhere, in a local church somewhere, and you start hearing the Word of God, and the calling of God comes to fruition on your life as you respond to the Word of God that's being ministered in that local body. Everything happens in the local body, in the local church. But you see, what happens is people get hurt. And so they get hurt, and then they say, you know, "I don't want anything to do with church." And so they don't go back, and so that the enemy's working. He's keeping you from your effectual call. You see that? And that's how he works. He gets you afraid and intimidates you, and you get hurt, and you get focused on yourself. You see? Torment, fear involves torment, it says in 1 John chapter 4. Fear involves torment. So when you're tormented, you're focused on yourself. When you're full of fear, you're focused on yourself. That's fear involves torment. So here's the idea. We have to get plugged into a local body somewhere where the Word of God is going forth and receive that and not get hurt by people. See, God will allow people to hurt you in the church because that's where you're developed, in the church. You see that? And so that's why you can't afford to get hurt and walk away. Remember I told you my dad, he got saved in a church and got hurt and turned his back on church and never went back, and he never fulfilled his effectual call on his life. The effectual call on your life, the first call is you accept Jesus. It says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12 through 14, it says, "But we always give thanks to God because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth to which you were called by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." You see, the gospel, you heard the gospel and you said, "He's talking to me." And now you repent and you accept Jesus. And then now there's an effectual call. Now I need to stay under the Word of God, receive it, and respond to that, and then live that out in the body and in my job, in my vocation, in my family, every area of my life. And that's the calling. And that's where your sphere of influence is when you're gifting and you're in your effectual call. You can't be in your effectual call without your gift. That's why you need your gift. And everyone has a gift. And see, that's why fear comes, to get your gift to lay dormant. Remember, we've been talking about that. Now, remember what we talked about last week? We talked about 1 Samuel chapter 3, Eli. Eli had a large congregation, and he had two sons that were taking up the offerings, and they were misusing the offerings, the funds in the church. And they were having sex with girls next to the tabernacle. You see that? And the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 3, that first verse, there was no widespread revelation, and the word of the Lord was rare. Why? What's revelation mean? No widespread revelation. No revelation. The word revelation means to reveal what's on the mind of God to the church for direction. So there was no direction being given to the church. And Proverbs 29:18 says, where there's no revelation, the people cast off restraint. Anything goes. So that's what was going on in that church. And he was leading the church, and the Bible says, check me out, 1 Samuel chapter 3, that Eli knew what his sons were up to. He was afraid to confront them. So it affected the whole church. Are you seeing this? Sometimes we're afraid to confront our family, and it affects us and others. Am I making sense? And so, that's what a hireling would be like. A hireling is, Jesus said, beware of a hireling. A hireling is someone that I'm hiring you to do what I want you to do. A lot of churches hire a pastor, and we want you to preach what we want you to preach. You see, that's not the calling of God. When you're called, you hear from God, and you're under authority, but you're giving them God's word and what God says, not what they want. Make sense? That's the difference between a call and a hireling. And we're to be, and a pastor is called. But a lot of pastors, they buckle when it comes to the people because the people control them. And they're afraid the people are going to leave, or the people are going to stop giving, or the people aren't going to like them. Well, you see, we got to quit worrying about pleasing people, right? Paul said in Galatians 1:9, he said, "If I still pleased men, I would no longer be a servant of Christ." So our lives aren't to be about pleasing people, right? We're to please God. Amen? So, and then remember we talked about the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, where one of the leaders was having sex with his mother-in-law. See, adultery and fornication, that can have an effect on the whole church. You understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? That's what he said. He said, you got to confront this. You got to deal with this because it's like leaven. And leaven permeates the whole loaf. You see that? You can't have leaders in the church committing adultery and fornication and it not affecting the whole loaf, the whole lump. Am I making sense? That has to be dealt with. Am I making sense? And so But pastors will shrink back. Remember in Corinthians, they were saying, we'll just love them through this. We'll just love them and they'll get through it. And you know, they'll see they're wrong and they'll get out of it. Sometimes you got to confront things head on and not be afraid of what their response is going to be like. And you got to trust God. Am I making sense? So, we are going to talk about fear today, but we're going to talk about the antidote to fear and how you can overcome fear and how you do overcome fear. And go with me to 2 Timothy. Chapter 1, where this is our foundational scripture. Verses 1 through 7, 2 Timothy chapter 1, 1 through 7. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life. See there? Paul was under the word. You see that? He was doing the will of God, and it was according to the promise of life, the Bible. That's what the word of God, the promise of life. See, that's how he was a true apostle. He was answering that effectual call. Now watch this. To Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Father, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus, and we thank you. We thank you, Father, for everyone here this morning. We thank you for your presence. Now, Lord, we ask that your word goes forth with boldness, and Lord, that it breaks yokes and destroys bondages. Lord, that it liberates and brings freedom in our hearts and our souls. Father, we thank you for your word today, and we trust that you're going to do a work in all of our hearts in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Okay. So the goal of fear is to stop your gift. Everyone has a gift. Remember, he says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, right? So fear is a spirit. And the word fear means to be intimidated, right? It means timidity or to be intimidated. So whenever you're intimidated or whenever you're afraid, there's another spirit present, getting you to shrink back to keep your gift from manifesting. You see that? That's the whole idea. And so what we're going to look at today is the power. But God has given us power, love, and a sound mind. Power is authority. We're going to talk about boldness today. And boldness releases that power in your life. When you have boldness and you're not afraid, boldness releases the power. So boldness is the answer to releasing that power and not allowing the fear to cause you to shrink back. Why does he want the gift to not be in operation? Because the gift, when you are using your gift, you are in your effectual call. When you are using your gift, everyone has a gift. Everybody. You're born with a gift. The Bible says in Romans 11:29 that the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. They're irrevocable. And everyone has one. Irrevocable means it can't change. It's going to remain in you. So a lot of our misery comes from we haven't discovered our gift and we're not in our calling. That's where a lot of our misery comes from. That's why a lot of people resort to other relationships. They resort to drugs. They resort to all kinds of other things because they are not tapping into their gifting and they're not tapping into the call on their life. Am I making sense? Come on now, does this make sense? So now look at this. Remember in 1 Peter 4:10, it says this. It says that each one of us has been given a gift. It says, steward it so that you can minister to one another the manifold grace of God. You see that? We're to steward the gift that God has given us. The word steward means to manage someone else's affairs. So in other words, the gift is not yours. The gift is God's. And that's what the enemy's after. He's after the gift because he doesn't care if you're a believer. He doesn't care if you're born again. He just doesn't want you to be effective and cause others to be born again. And he doesn't want you to increase and advance the kingdom of God. But you see, when you're using your gift, you are advancing the kingdom of God. You see, Jesus said, I came that you may do what I do also. That's what he said. That you do what I do also. Then 1 John 3:8 says, why did Jesus come? To destroy the works of the devil. When you are using your gift, 1 John 3:8, when you're using your gift, you are destroying the works of the devil. You see that? And that's why we need your gift in operation to minister to one another. Remember, the word minister means to serve. And you discover your gift when you start serving in the body of Christ. It just shows up. Start peeling potatoes. Do something. And eventually you will see, you will identify your gift. And you can start serving that, and you'll use it in your family, on your job, wherever you go, you'll be able to live out of that. And serve your gift. That's your calling in life. Now, he says, steward that gift. Now, watch this. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, Paul says this, I beseech you, brethren, to have a walk worthy of your calling to which you were called, with all lowliness, gentleness, long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, for there's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. You see that? Now watch this. What's he saying? He's saying, I have a walk worthy of your calling. What's that? That's how you steward your gift. He says, with all lowliness. Ephesians 4, verse 2. Check me out. With all lowliness. Or some of your says, with all humility. You're going to have to be humble. In other words, the more influence you have in the kingdom of God, the more humble you're going to have to be. You see that? The more influence you have in the kingdom of God, the more humble you're going to have to be. The higher you go in the things of God, the lower you're going to have to go as far as in your walk with God. Are you with me? Come on, are you hearing this? So humility is how we steward the gift. Because God wants to trust you with that gift. You see that? If he can't trust you, he's not going to let you use that gift. That's why David said that his heart was submitted to the Lord in Psalms 51. Now think about this. Submit means to come under the mission. It means to come under authority. And that's what they did with a horse. When a horse would submit, it would come under the rulership of the master. In other words, it did what the master said. And if no matter how gifted the horse was, no matter how fast it could run, no matter how high it could jump, if it wouldn't submit to the master, it had to stay in the barn. You see? Because if it wouldn't submit to the master, when they went to war, it put a lot of other people in danger. Are you hearing this? And so that's why he says we're to steward our gifts, because now we're going to do it God's way. And no matter how gifted, when you have a gift and you're willing to submit to the authority of God and his word and his way, now he can use you. You see that? And the wildest stallions are the ones who are used the most in the kingdom of God. When they get harnessed by God's word, that's the ones God's going to use. So if you're here and you're buck wild, you are in the right place. That's right. Yeah. But you gotta get that under that submission. Are you with me? Now think about this. With all lowliness, Gentleness. The word gentleness means the ability in you to be undisturbed regardless of your uncomfortable surroundings. There's going to be times in the body of Christ that you are rubbed wrong. People are going to do you wrong, up in your face wrong. But you know what? When you're operating in gentleness, you have the ability in you to not even be disturbed by it. You see that? God is developing you, and He will do it in the body of Christ. You see this? He will use people in church to develop that gift in you, that gentleness, so that when you're operating your gift, you're not going to be disturbed. You're too focused on your gift. You're destroying the works of the devil. Come on now. You get out of here. What? Do you hear this? Long-suffering, gentleness, long-suffering. Long-suffering's patience. He's developing patience, and He will do it in the body. Patience. That's what He's developing in you. So that you operate that gift the way He says, not the way you want to. Because look, you can have a gift. Everybody has a gift, right? Michael Jackson is a gifted man. Am I right about it? I remember being in my car in high school. And one of his songs, you know, you can feel when he sings sometimes. You get goosebumps and stuff. You know? But that don't mean it's God. You know what I'm saying? Because there's a gift. He's gifted. I'll build my world all around you. I'm so glad that I found you. I'll be there to comfort you. If you should find someone new, I know he better be good to you. And if he doesn't, I'll be there. Look over your shoulder, honey! Woo! Right? Are you with me? I remember being in my car, my girlfriend broke up, and man, I'm singing that. I'll take you back. You know, I was feeling that thing. There's a gift working. But you know, it's not for the building of the kingdom. You see that? Am I making sense? It's not advancing God's kingdom. It's advancing something else. You see this? This is huge. Okay. So God wants you to steward that gift His way, right? And when you do, you are in your effectual call, and your influence is helping to change lives and your own life. As your life is changing, you are affecting others for change to advance God's kingdom. Okay. Boldness is the antidote to fear. Boldness. In Numbers 13:31, this 12 spies went out and they came back. They said, we're like grasshoppers. They said, we're like grasshoppers. They're like giants. We're not able. They're stronger than us. You know why they said that? Because they were afraid. In Joshua chapter 5, Joshua entered into the promised land. Joshua was on the west side of the Jordan. This is what they spoke on the west side of the Jordan. Rahab said, these men's hearts have fainted because we know God is with you. You see, when you are operating in your gifting and your calling, God is with you, and the enemy is shaking in his boots. Amen. Are you listening to me? The enemy is shaking in his boots when you come to know who you are in Christ. And that's why he works so hard to keep you from discovering your gift and to keep you from becoming all that God created you to be, to keep you out of that effectual call. You see that? Boldness is what's stirs up the gift and destroys fear. Listen to the meaning of boldness. True boldness will wake up when fear is present. True boldness will wake up when fear is present. I remember my son, his wedding, 11 years ago. He's going to be preaching here 2 weeks from today. So I remember I did his wedding, and all these people were in there. There was like 400 people at this wedding, lots of people. And we're going over a few things up front, and this other pastor was with me that was helping. And this lady comes out of the office and says, you know, there's somebody in here that wants to talk to a pastor. And the guy says, you know, I'll go. You stay here because you got, you know, you got to take care of this wedding. I said, okay. So he goes in, and he comes back 10 minutes later, and he says, I think we need to stop this. I said, what? What's wrong? He goes, this man, you should have seen his eyes. I said, what are you talking about? He goes, this guy said he came in, and he said he's going to take a gun and start shooting everybody in here. I said, what? I said, where's he at? He said he got away. I said, he got away? Why didn't you hog tie him in the office in there? He goes, man, you should have seen his eyes. I said, his eyes? I said, I'd have hog tied him and called the police till he got there. He goes, man, we need to do something. I said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to carry on here. That wimp isn't going to do anything. He said, man, he had tattoos all over. He was dressed in black. He was a Satan worshiper. I said, I don't care what he was. We're going to do this. And then the ladies in the office said something, and it started spreading. And you could feel the... all the. I said, no. We prayed, and peace came over the whole deal. And they called the police, and the police didn't even get there till 2 hours later. And they come with all their body like they're going to World War III. Tanks and everything else rolling in there. No, but it's what it looked like. And then they escorted us to the reception. But my point is, boldness rose up in me. Are you with me? I had a friend that Dr. Michael Murray in Cincinnati, had a large church in Cincinnati. He had a woman in his church, married, had a family. This woman, her husband died. He was in his 40s. So she was coming home from the funeral with her two sons. She puts her sons to bed, goes into the kitchen. Two men were hiding in the broom closet in the kitchen and abducted her and tied her up in the kitchen and began to tell her what they were going to do to her. And they were going to rape her and do all this stuff to her. And they were whispering and laughing and telling her what they were going to do to her. She said, this is what she testified. She said, I looked up and I said, Jesus! And they ran out of there like scalded dogs. And they ended up getting in an accident 2 blocks later, and the police came and arrested them. They had murdered 2 people prior to that. Are you listening to me? Boldness rose up in her. She said she was thinking, my husband's died. Now my kids are going to have to come out here and see me dead. She said, all I could do is cry out for the Lord. And when she did, the power of God showed up. Are you with me? Boldness. Now think about this. This is what boldness means. It means fearless before danger. Fearless before danger. It means assured. It means confident. It means intrepid. It means adventurous. I like what Oxford says. It means showing an ability to take risks. It means courageous. I love this part. It means a bold attempt to solve a crisis. That means a crisis isn't going to cause you to shrink back. You're going to keep depending on God, and you're going to get answers for in your crisis. That's why God says that we can come to His throne boldly and find grace and help in the time of need. You see, when you have boldness, you're going to continue to get wisdom from God and get every answer you're looking for in God. Am I making sense? You're going to get what you need regardless of the crisis, regardless of the circumstances around you. Am I making sense? And that's the power of God being released in your life when you're bold. We got to look at David. In Psalms 27:1, David said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" David was not afraid. Go with me to 1 Samuel 17. I love this stuff. We're going to look at verse 10. And in verse 4, it talks about, okay, but we'll look at verse 4 real quick. "And a champion went out," 1 Samuel 17. Verse 4. "And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath, from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span." That is approximately 10.5 feet. So if you look at the basketball rim out there, just go up about 6 more inches, and that's how tall Goliath was. 10.5 feet, that's what that amounts to. Now, okay, so now look, verse 10. So what Goliath was doing, he's saying, if I'm the champion, I'm going to rule. If you become the champion, you can rule. Now look what he says. "And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day, given me a man, that we may fight together. When Saul and all of Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly," what? "Afraid," intimidated, because of his stature, his, you know, his being big and all his armor. Okay? Now look at this. In verse 20, okay? Now wait a minute. Go with me to verse 14. "David was the youngest, and the three oldest followed Saul. But David occasionally went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening." Now, what happened was, his brothers were afraid, and they hid behind the rocks, okay? They hid behind the rocks. Verse 23. "Then, as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, 'Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel.'" Now watch this. "Then David spoke to the men who stood behind him." They were behind him, hiding behind the rocks, shaking in their boots. Now look at this. Little David, little shepherd boy, spoke to the men saying, "What shall be done of this Philistine, of this man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him in this manner saying, "So shall it be done for the man who kills him." Now watch this. Now, Eliab was David's older brother. And he was the, everybody thought that Eliab was going to be the next king, because he was tall and big and very gifted leader. And they thought, he will be the leader. He's going to be our leader. He's going to be the next king. Uh-uh. God rejected him and chose David. God rejected him, and you're going to see why. Look at verse 28. "Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David." Eliab, watch this, got angry because David was being positive in what appeared to be a negative situation. You see that? You know what? When you're positive in a group of negative people, they are going to immediately begin to find fault and get angry at you. Because you know what? You are putting light on their familiar. and they don't want to get out of their familiar, and you're challenging them. They need to make some changes in their life. But if they're successful in intimidating you, they don't have to change because they want to keep controlling the situation. Come on now. Am I talking to the right people? That's the way it is. That's exactly how it is. Now look at this. So his anger was aroused. He had nothing to be angry about. David's heart was pure for doing the will of God and helping out Israel. Now watch this. And with whom, now this is what his brother's saying. And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? One translation says you need to go back and feed those little few sheep you have. I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle. His big brother was saying, you just want to come down and see all the blood and guts. You're not concerned about people. Go back and feed your little sheep and do what you're supposed to do. You see, now watch this. If David would have listened to his brother or been intimidated by his big brother, he would have never destroyed Goliath. You see that? You see, it could have created big problems in the family. But David stood for what he believed. You hear that? Here's the next verse. And David said, what have I done now? Is there not a cause? In other words, David is saying, the cause that I'm standing for is greater than anything you're trying to come up with. Because his heart was pure towards Israel and towards doing the will of God. You see that? So he wasn't intimidated by his brothers. The next confrontation he had was with Saul. And Saul said the same thing. You're just a little ruddy boy. What do you think you're going to do against this giant? And this is what David said. David didn't rebuke his king. He said, well, you know, I whipped the lion and I whipped the bear. I can take Goliath. You see, you never rebuke your boss, your supervisor, or somebody who's been entrusted over you in authority. You never do that. And David didn't do that. He just let him know that he could handle the job. You see that? That's important. So, Saul believed it. Saul said, here, I'll help you. Get my armor. Put my armor on. Put everything I... David said, I don't need it. All right? David said, I don't need it. Now, look at this. Verse 42. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And he goes on to say, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. That word name means authority. It means authority. See, that's, he come in the name of the Lord, in the authority, the power of the Lord. That's why that's how he was there. I've come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp and of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. David said, I'm going to feed you to the beast of the field. I'm going to cut your head off, and then I'm going to show your head to Israel and say, if you want success, this is how you get ahead. You see that? He wasn't intimidated by the giant. He wasn't intimidated by his family. He wasn't intimidated by his supervisor, his boss. You see that? And so the gift was free to be in operation, and it destroyed the giant. And all of Israel celebrated, and David fulfilled his calling of God on his life. You see that? Come on now, do you see it? Now, he fulfilled, but now what? Remember, Elijah ran. Elijah ran. Saul was afraid of the people. He got removed from his rulership. Israel ran because they were afraid. David was not afraid, and David fulfilled his calling, his effectual calling on his life. Oh, I like that story. That's good stuff. And you know what? That's the same way it works in us. Today, leadership conferences are going on all over the world, and they're talking about David. They talk, even in the secular world, they speak of David and his boldness and the way he believed. Are you with me? All over, leadership conferences use him as an example. That's saying something. Influence. Effectual call. Are you with me? Oh, that's good stuff. All right. Now, go with me to 2 Corinthians real quick. We'll go over to the New Testament for a minute. Chapter 3. And we're going to look at verse 11. Remember when Eliab was accusing David of just showing up for the battle? And it says that he said, you're here because of pride. Eliab said that, his bigger brother. You know what? That's what happens. That's what happens when you are positive in a negative situation. People will begin to accuse you of what they have. See, Eliab was rejected by God. God only rejects the proud. Remember? James 4:6, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. God only rejects the proud. God rejected Eliab, and Eliab was accusing David of being proud when David wasn't being proud. David was being humble and believing what God had said to him. Am I making sense? That's huge. They accused Jesus of being a drunkard, of being a demon-possessed. They accused Paul of all kinds of things. You understand what I'm saying? Whenever you're doing the will of God, people are going to accuse you of what their character flaws are because you're putting a light on them having to change. They're trying to bring you down to their level. A lot of times, they don't like themselves or their life. They just like the familiar. So they will come at you so they can stay in their familiar and connected in their familiar. I know I'm talking to some folks this morning. Verse 11. 1 Corinthians, check 2 Corinthians 3:11. For if what is passing away was glorious, meaning the old covenant, what remains is much more glorious, meaning the new covenant. So that's what he's talking about, the covenant. Verse 12. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great, what? Boldness of speech. See? We have a better covenant, the Bible says. We're in the new covenant. So we should be even bolder about what we believe. Am I making sense? And that annihilates fear. When we're bold, when fear shows up, boldness should rise up in us. Are you listening to me? This is huge, folks. This is huge. In Ephesians 3:20, it says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Remember, that's authority. That's what the fear is trying to take away, the power. But we have an abundance as we allow it to work in us. Am I making sense? And it works in us through boldness. Hebrews 13:5-6 says this. God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Oh, did you hear that? See, if we're bold, it annihilates fear. Now watch this. And the power of God is released. Now look, real quick, Romans 15:13, and then we're going to take communion. Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. By the power, there's that power, by the authority of the Holy Spirit. Now watch this. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, believing. You know what? People who aren't intimidated, they bring hope to the situation. You see, you ever be around somebody when they show up, things just seem to get better? When they come to work, it's better. When you're around them on a sport or anything, it's just better. Because they bring hope to the situation. No matter what you're going through, when they show up, man, something feels better. Are you with me? That's because they're not intimidated. That power is working. See, people who aren't intimidated have hope. And they bring hope, and they give hope to others. That's that authority working. Come on, am I making sense? You know that's true. That's true. That's the kind of person I want to be. How about you? And we'll only be that way if we're not intimidated and we're not full of fear. Because fear will keep you out of your calling and keep your gift dormant. Keep it from operating. All right. I got more to share, but we're going to have to take communion. And we're going to continue this next week. So those who are helping me to serve communion, could you come forward?